Is there anyone here that needs me to speak in English? Yes? Oh, no, no, okay. No, I don't have an excuse for that. Thank you. Yeah, I made it. So, and everyone in the video also enjoy me maybe to speak in English. First, I want to thank Microsoft by inviting me to be here to talk once again about React. I've been here in the 1 year or two, 2 years ago, talking about the beginning of React. And now I am here again to talk about a bit more, that is building React apps. Because React is not just about, only about building apps, is about the view layer. We will talk about this soon. So first, who's me? My name is Carlos Guedes. I'm a software engineer. I will be for life. I'm also a former teacher, actually at Izel. Some of you, I think, are from Izel. Some friendly faces here. And I have more than 12 years experience in building web applications, now full stack. I'm working now for a lot of companies, more than one. The major of my time is within Sky. Here in Lisbon, we have an office. But I also work for Cups, that is an operating system for coffee shops in New York. It's a very cool project. That where I also work, and I work via TopTal. So here I will talk about first React to recap. Who knows enough React? Nothing? Okay.
For me.
Okay, it's not that bad, but would help. So the first thing would be to recap a bit about React principles, and then. Know that React is not about building apps, it's about building the UI. So what do we need after that part? We need to create a boilerplate with a lot of building tools and so. Then we need maybe UI elements, and I will talk about one opinionated. With my opinion, one of the best libraries to use, and the same for routing and the same for other parts of building an app, namely styles and the state management, okay? Within the app, I will perform some micro demos so that we have a feel of what is building these kind of apps. So React is this, from a quote from Facebook, this is the first line you would read. React is a library in JavaScript for building user interfaces. Okay, it's not the same like others like Angular, that is more than that. In React, we can't do much with only React. So this talk is about more, is about which building tools do I need to create an app, which reusable components I have to build those apps, and routing, what is routing, and what can I use, state management, and so on. So first, what is React? For me, React is very easy to explain, because React is that UI is a function of data. We have some data, like a list of to-dos. Okay, a bunch of JSON with an ID for each to-do, a label, and some other characteristics. And then, within that data and the function, that is a React component, we have some UI. And if that information, that data, that is props and state change, the function would be executed again, and we have another UI, like having another to-do element. React implements this in a way that is very fast, because he knows the output of that render, that function, is actually a tree of elements and mutation of the UI. I'm not saying that is a mutation of DOM, it's mutation of the UI. And then the engine runs the differences required to update the UI. And this is very fast. It offers a declarative API that is awesome to build a user interface. So I write what I want, not what the way to do that is a declarative way. Like HTML, I don't write the primitives to draw lines and so on. I write that I want an input or a button. Okay, this is a kind of declarative API. And there is some elements that we need to understand that are the class components, the components within React, and the life cycle within. So the applications have state, the changes, and the things that happen, like having new props. And we need to be aware of the life cycle events during the app. I will talk about them just in a minute. And React is not only about the web. So there is an implementation of the interpretation for that function, the result, that is the React DOM that connects to the DOM. But there is also React Native that issue updates to iOS or Android. And even more strange, trendy, whatever, the React VR for virtual reality, okay, on the browser or others. So what is the structure of a React component? There are actually three to define a React component. One is the first way, the most common seen way, that is creating a class with a method that is a render method, that is that function that I was talking about before. In this scenario, I have two props, a title and a subtitle, that needs to be rendered. And that is the UI for that div with an H1 and optionally an H2. Okay? In that scenario, there is also a mention to the this.state. The state is the UI state that we can change or should change within the premises of the component itself. Okay, those components are more advanced components. We will stick with the props for this presentation because we don't want to dive in that part for the React. But I want to share with you, because I see this a lot, that we don't need to write all those lines and characters. We can write this, a functional component, that is more efficient, and is a function. Is like the paradigm that I talked about in the beginning. So a React is a function, a React component is a function that receives props and returns HTML. Here, even more explicit, because the title symbol is what? Is a function that, given an object that contains a title and a subtitle, it returns these elements. Okay? You may interrupt me for questions if you want. Okay. So, yeah.
Just one question. In Lambda, you need to put parentheses on job XG's expression, or
not? Yeah, actually not.
Actually not. Okay.
You meant here? No. Because this is GSX, a syntax that allows us to write HTML. With the JavaScript. And this would be translated to react.div and things. So that is a valid expression in this world. Okay. The only things to be aware of is that sometimes with lambdas, we need to use, when I return an object in JavaScript, I need to use curly braces, because otherwise that would be a block. And that is the edge case. Okay. So the life cycle, very fast, is this is the beginning of everything that gets me the props and the state. And then the component will mount in the DOM or whatever. You can do requests for some API to get the data, and then I will render the content. Okay? And again, after that, what would happen? The state of the component would change, like some checkbox that would expand some UI within the component. And in that scenario, a new set of methods would be called. That is, the most important is should component update. This change is important to my children to be updated or not. This is a performance step that I can opt in to write some code. And then component will update. These are the old props. These are the new props and state. And we can act upon that to do something. The same happens, and this is sometimes, many times forgotten, that is, the props itself can change also. So we are all okay with changing the state, if anyone writes a React component knows that, but within a large implementation with or writing a library, we sometimes forgot the component would receive props from some render up in the hierarchy. And then the component is there already, but we would have new state via props. And there we need to do something else. Okay, like in a page with details from someone, some user, and then we navigate to the same content, but for other user. The only thing that change are the props. Okay, but keep this in mind. Remember my phrases to be aware when props change in the app. And then the last element that is very important to garbage collection. So when the component leaves out the page, let me say that way, we have an opportunity to free resources or whatsoever. Or maybe a pop-up to allow something or analytics. So this is about React, okay? Now, this is not enough, okay? We need to start the project, and that is incredibly insane. This is JavaScript, and the JavaScript is not churn anymore, but it is not easy to deal with in the beginning. So we are now in a better place because Facebook created a way to solve this. So what I am talking about is create a project is overwhelming. I don't know if you are aware or have suffered from this. We have Babel, we have Webpack, Grunt, Jasmine, not Reload, and many others that are appearing as we speak. The list of dependencies within my project and the requirements for updating those dependencies and so on, and choose, should I use Jasmine or another render for tests, is not a very good companion when we need to start a project. So enter Create React App. Facebook guys in the incubator part of organization of GitHub created this very handy tool that is Create React App. We need only to npm install globally because it's a tool, the Create React App. And then, create React App, my app, go to there, start. And we have a strongly opinionated solution to build my app. For instance, I'm using this a lot in my projects, and I hate when part of it. Because in the past, I would use the hot reload with Webpack and so on, and hot reload is very cool. Because my app reloads without a refresh of the page. It's very, very cool. But the burden of having the configurations there is even worse. So for now, I'm using this one. You will see. But the good part is that they are aware of this. There are some challenges. And I will get these maybe in the future, this fancy future, and others for free. Okay? And this is a trade-off of using these tools. The main point, the selling points for this is one dependency. You will see one line against maybe 14 dependencies within the project.js. So no configuration required, no extra files, and is not locked in. So if you face a wall and you, I need this, that is a specific way of using Webpack, we can eject without return from this boilerplate and do our customizations, okay? I will show you in a minute. So the features within are very nice. So we can use ECMAScript 6, Flow, React. We can use even features that are beyond ECMAScript 6, like the object spread operator. And we have lint, a good, very good lint for giving feedback from like having a variable that I don't use anymore. The tool itself give me advice to remove that. Okay, that is very, very good. And importing CSS and images are also there built in, and the auto prefix and the bundling and so on. Okay. So when we create an app with this, we have that beautiful file. I can put that in a slide with big characters. So we have the project sample with a version that is private and two dependencies, React Core, and we are in the browser, so React DOM. And then for development, we have that thing that is React scripts. Okay? The Create React app is a tool. React scripts are the thing that wraps all we have talked about before, the webpack and so on. Okay? And some scripts to start my app. If we eject so that you know what I'm talking about, we would be like this, or to have something that is similar. I can't even go through the end, okay? It lacks like 10 lines, so. But it is insane. And with this, I have a lot of files, configuration files and scripts within my app. So let's see this working. Oh. Sorry, I was. So create React app sample. Can go this way. This is using my tool set. In this scenario, I have installed Yarn, that is a competitor, so to speak, for NPM, and is getting all the dependencies from the web. And now we have finished some information and the scripts to start. And let's start. So Yarn start, or NPM start. Yeah. Always. Yarn sample start. It opens the browser. This is very cool. And it also detects if we are already using that port, that is the default one, and opt me in for another port if I have several running at the same time. So here we are with a very, very basic application. Okay. So to see the code, we can use Visual Studio Code. That, this is not because I'm in Microsoft. I actually I've been liking Visual Studio Code a lot. I'm a fan and a buyer of Sublime Text. Yes, if we use software a lot and we are software engineers, we should play, okay? Even though there is a free version. For this, we have some handy features within that are worth to use Visual Studio Code. One of them is that everything fits together, so I can Yarn start, and I have here my application running, Control-C is not what I meant. Command-Z. I need to kill Visual Studio Code because Control-Z doesn't kill the web server, but this is very fast to start. Sorry for that. Yarn start. And here we are. The shortcut to hide this is very near to that. So no problem. So we have very, very few files here. So the log file for Yarn to have strict versions for the dependencies. This is very important. We have that very thin package JSON. The gitignore ready to have this in Git. And the public and source code. So the public is the things that we are have as static content, like files and so on. And here we have a thing that is a body with a div that is a root. This is the anchor point for the React app. And then in the index.js, that is the start point for this, it's a fixed start point, we are running app in that hook point for the HTML. The app itself is very easy to understand. So we have a component that has some styles within and require, for instance, a style sheet. Let me open this, app.css. So it's a plain old style sheet. Let me move this to header because we will need this in the future. So notice that, this is not running, sorry. Now I need, yarn start. Now I need to press the correct button. Yes, twice. Notice that when I write something here, like changing the color, let me move this to here, like using a good color like red. I can save this, and the app itself changes. This time for CSS, they have implemented hot reloads, so this is very, very good. The IDE by itself is also very interesting. And for the code part, we have some bits of power, from TypeScript, and we can actually hyperlink to React itself and see TypeScript definitions to have IntelliSense and so on. This is very good, okay? So moving on. Another aspect, so we are creating that app, but I need those common elements like buttons, menus, and so on. What would we do? We use the Twitter Bootstrap. More or less, it's not that well implemented, in my opinion, right, for React. There are other solutions. The one I'm using and I propose to use is to use Semantic UI. Semantic UI is actually a HTML, JavaScript, and CSS solution by itself. You can use that in projects that are not React aware. It's kind of a competitor for the Twitter Bootstrap, but they have an implementation in JavaScript of the JavaScript in JavaScript for React. Okay, I will show that in a moment. There are some missing features. We have missing stuff like date pickers and so on, but we can opt in for those using some cherry pick packages like the awesome Airbnb React dates for that matter. So you want to see what we can get from Semantic UI is this. I don't know if you agree with me, but this is kind of awesome. Even more for someone that is an engineering and not a designer. So we have those card elements, those labels, these shipping step-by-step elements, and this search with an interesting drop-down that I can customize, forms, of course, models, even numbers with these fancy elements. So there is a lot of elements there, and the project is very mature and very active, so you can trust in the project, in my opinion. This is a feature list. There are elements, UI elements, then collections that are elements that are contained in another, like menu that contains menu items and so on, and views and so on. This is like...
Concurrent for Bootstrap?
Yeah. This is a competitor for Bootstrap, for Twitter Bootstrap. But Twitter Bootstrap, as far as I know, don't have an implementation that suits React. At the time, it was very dependent on jQuery. And jQuery, that mutates the DOM, is not friend of React, because React needs to know needs to handle that DOM by itself. And having others messing with the DOM is not very nice to do. So that's why I wrote here NodeJQuery for this part, the React part for these projects. And it works very, very, very well, okay? So there is a declarative API, again, so I can express myself in a better way for these UI elements. We have shorthand props. That is a thing that we don't see a lot, but is a way to define a nested structure, like having a menu with a menu item that contains some label in the menu item in a very, very short and compact way. You will see in the next slide that we are using all the power for the main project, that is the semantic UI. The semantic UI exists even before React. There is support for templating, creating our templates for our company with our colors and the other ND tools. So they are implementing in the React space only the JavaScript. We need to link, for instance, for their CSS. So this is that is cool because they are not repeating between the projects. It is even maintained by the same company organization in GitHub. And is well documented and tested.
For logical data backend, you use different frameworks?
Like tables and filtering and so on? Well, what do you mean by logical data in backend?
Like you can mix these with MVC or Angular?
Yeah. You can mix Angular with React, okay? If someone think that we can't do that, yes, we can. We in Sky are doing that in production. We have a legacy Angular application, and we are in the middle of migrating everything to React, and we use them both. So we can mix match. It's not easy, but we can.
In our project, we couldn't mix Angular with MVC. We mixed MVC with Knockout. It was a surprise for us.
Yeah, the thing in React is if you use a library that hooks on the DOM and manipulates DOM, it's not a good companion. But otherwise, if you isolate the part, you have seen that hook point in the DOM. Yeah, React is only from that hook end point within. So we can have the main menu and the footer of the app and maybe a sidebar that is not in React, but the main part is. So we can use that. So this is not a let's go and stop everything and start with React, OK? It's not easy, though. An example for semantic UI. So we need to import semantic UI React, for sure. And we are extracting the button from there and using like that button with a content that is text-like, with an icon that is art, and the label that is this. And the position of the label is right. If I want to do this, like labeling, positioning the label to the left, you can see in the last example, that is a matter of using label position left. And you can see here by the brightness of the screen, but there is an arrow that needs to switch between the label being on the left or on the right. So the React semantic UI handles all that for me, okay, in a very expressive way. Let's go for a demo and check this. So the main project for the React semantic UI is this one. There is a very handy implemented in the React site. We can start typing here like for a form, searching for a form. And we have here the documentation that is very well written, like having the props with the values that I can use. And here, the examples, okay? So this is an example with shorthands. We have this example, and we can even press here and check the code. And then this is a live editor. I can change something here, like Oh, I'm searching for xname. Sorry, but this is the xname that I've changed before. So we can tweak here to get something. I will get this form. So I can copy this form. And the first thing to do is yarn as semantic react UI. Is it getting the dependencies? What? Just to make sure I'm using the right one. So now I have the dependencies. Then there is not a lot of dependencies within the project. That is very nice also. So in the app that we got, sorry, here. Let me do something here so that maybe we can see this side by side. What do we need to do? After this, I can paste all that content. Notice that I'm using a form field label input that is a placeholder. We can use with short props something like this, form field label equals first name, and so on. That is the shorthand properties that I mentioned before. Let's not do this because we don't have time. And I can run, save this. And whoops, this is not working because form is not there. So this is what I talked about before of linting and checking the code for errors. So I need to, it's not, I can copy paste, but I can depend on the form from semantic UI React. Okay, I've called the IntelliSense, and these are all the components that are within that project, okay? This is an end feature from the editor, okay? So I can save this, and I think we don't need more than this. Oh, yes, a checkbox and a button. So we can save, and the UI is not that interesting because we have missed one part, that is the CSS. So I've spoken that we need to use the CSS from the main project. We can go to the documentation. Let me go straight to the part where I can copy-paste from the CDN. Sorry, the CSS. Let me put this way, save. Oh, in the index, this is not that easy. Let me save, remove this from here, and save. What's happening? Okay. Sometimes we need to refresh in the browser. This is not perfect because of the default styles for the Bootstrap, but is it better, right? And we can do like, oh, this button should be a primary button. Okay, primary. And now the button is blue because it's the primary color, okay? This is very handy. So let's moving on because... So about routing. Routing is what? Is the
navigating.
This is very, very important in APIs, right? When we opt in using React for some part of the page, it's not that important, but most of the times we are implementing applications, right? So apps should be addressable. If I mean a detail for something, I should be able to refresh, send the link, and so on, okay? So React routing implements that feature, okay? So in the client side, we have this challenge for the server to understand this deep linking for the app. So we need to have this working in the new generation of browsers that are not using hashtag the fragment with things ahead. We are proper URLs. We need to write something like that for everything within the app serve index HTML. And then React and React Router do the rest. Yeah, I know. So here, React Router is the king. But there is a small problem. is so king that everyone works on the project, and we have three versions. There is a version 2 that is very stable, but its legacy is not cool. And we search something in Google and so on, we get documentation for version 2, or we don't know. That is not good. So yeah, instead of having another project and is disrupt, they disrupt by using several versions. Even though even a third version that is the transition between 2 and 4. Yeah, this is insane. So version 4 is cutting edge. I'm not presenting that. It's very cutting edge. It was released last month. But we can take advantage of routing using version 2. It's very stable, it's maintained. We need to write something like this. We need to express our hierarchy of routes and points within the app. It's like implementing an API, but for the app. And we can express that by using that router component. We use a declarative way. We can opt in for JavaScript code, but this is another thing that could be implemented within a declarative way, because I don't want to express all to do. I need to express what I want. So I want a router that uses the browser history, that is those fancy slash URLs, not with the fragment. And then for the root of my app, use the component app. And the default component within the app, imagine this like the app, within that we have the welcome. But if we are in the slash login, would be presented the login, and the issues would be presented the issues. Okay? This is take advantage of one thing that React component says, that is the children. So every time we wrote something like this, the route, this one, inside as a children for the other component, like the router, we have a property, that is named children, that is a reference for that content. So this is kind of a master page if you have worked with that before. What is missing here? The navigation. So what should I do to navigate between pages? React router offers a component. That is the link. You can see there in the last part, here, the more. So it is a component that is called link. When I say with the property 2, what is the route? Okay? So this is not a very fancy application, because we have hard-coded two strings, this and that. But the idea is to have these parts, the definition and the navigation, okay? I will skip the demo, to talk about two more things. Yeah, I have time. The styles. So for the styles, the baseline is to use CSS and the styles within React. This is not cool because my designer sends me CSS. It doesn't send me camel case CSS that fits React. So, and sometimes I want isolation. I want my component that has proper styles within the component, so that someone can depend on the component and get the styles within it. Okay? To solve this issue, I found, and the internet agree with me, that the project styled components is getting very, very traction to solve this, because we are able to write these. Forget, for instance, for a moment this. So we can implement a div that is styled this way. So this, if you remember CSS, this is CSS. For advanced scenarios, I can opt in using the templated strings for JavaScript for this. But in the most scenarios, in the common scenarios, I would copy-paste the new styles. Okay? This is very handy for implementing styles in this world. To finish, I only want to talk with you about the state. So having state within the apps, when the apps start growing, is not that easy. You may, when starting implementing this, have heard about Redux. Who knows Redux? Yeah, not many, because you are not implementing much of this. But yeah, Redux, my first advice is not to use implement that by yourself. I know that time is ending. Okay. Implement that by yourself because you will get overwhelmed by the Redux. Okay. The second advice is to use Redux to solve that overwhelming code you will be implementing by yourself. So this is a trade-off. So that I will show this diagram so that you, this is Redux. You agree with me? That is, whoa, overwhelming. Yeah, the idea is to have something like React that is very easy to test and manage within a large project. That is, the components say, this is an action, insert a to-do. Okay, insert a to-do. And then someone translates that to the state of the app. That is, inserting the to-do within an array. That is the state for the application, the store. And then that triggers an update for the component or the components that are interested in that information. Imagine an app with a list of to-dos and a counter. So those two components are interested in listening for the list of to-dos. One to know the size and the other for the content. So we can use these to disconnect the state transitions within the update of the UI. Okay, this is very hard to understand properly, but we would be able to be here 2 hours or more talking about this. So I would like to finish saying first advice is not to use, but be aware that you would need to use within a large application. Okay, so I'm finished my presentation. I'm very tired, sorry. Thank you. If you have questions, I think I have time for one.